Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Chronic.
Tick, tick, tick. Boom. Yes, we are almost heaven. West Virginia, Mountain Mama, Shenandoah River. We are sending the call out today to a name that we have been dying to have on the meltdown, and we have finally tracked him down all the way through to the most beautiful states. Are you ready for another sensational Meltdown Monday? My name's Tom Finkill, and I am sat in the Mancunian state of Greater Manchester as the wind has been lashing down today. The boys have just been talking about lazy rivers. I feel that I could jump in a puddle outside my house just to take me to the post box. It has been that bad today. But right now, it is dark outside. The fire is on in my living room. I've got that warm, fuzzy feeling inside, and we are going to get sloppy because we have got the most incredible guests. And to line it up and to set off our show, I'm going to introduce you to the reason you are all here. He is the three-time tag team champion of the world. He is the creation of devastation. He looks finer every time we see him. Ladies and gentlemen, his smile is infectious and his laugh is like nobody else. Get ready, because he is Brian Clark.
Thank you, Tomcat, and everyone listening here. Do not get it twisted, ladies and gentlemen. That is Tom Finkill, the three-time UK host of the year. The man can do it all, no doubt about it. We have another great show today. Excited. This is our third this week, so we have been hanging and banging all week, and This man coming up here, we have been waiting, trying to get everything, the planets and the stars aligned, and we've finally done it. He's back off vacation, spent a whole week at the beach, and comes back onto the Meltdown, and we are very blessed and glad he's here with us. Ladies and gentlemen, my guest today is a two-time WWF Tag Team Champion and a Slammy Award winner. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Henry O. Godwin, welcome in, my friend.
Yeah. Damn, what an opening. I'm going to have to take a shot and smoke a cigarette after all that love.
I'll buy you breakfast in the morning. We're all good.
All right.
Welcome, Mark. Welcome our very own Henry O. Godwin. Brian, do you know what the O stands for?
Oh, my. I've heard this. I did.
I wanted to stump him straight off the bat.
No. This, Henry, this was someone in Vince's family, right? Was it? No, I don't want to mispronounce it.
What? Orpheus?
Orpheus.
Orpheus. Okay.
There you go.
So it was Vince, somebody in Vince's family, correct?
Yeah, it was. Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. So I got part of it. So
I'm going to give you a round of applause. That was awesome. Brian is number one when it comes to research. He will have done a deep dive so much into you, Mark, and your career. He'll be hitting us with some incredible questions today. So thank you so much for joining us. It is a pleasure to have you on The Meltdown, a definite guest that we had on our bucket list from the start. How are you feeling? All good?
Doing good, man. Just recouping from traveling and vacation and hanging out.
Well, we are going to hang out today and we're going to hit some beautiful questions. We're going to keep it positive. And I've not got just two games to play this afternoon. Oh, I might slide in a third. Let's see how everything rolls. I've got something special to line up for Mr. Henry O. Godwin. But to start us off, I'm going to bat it over to my big brother over the pond. I'm reaching out for the hot tack. He's going to kick off our show. Brian, it's over to you, brother.
You got it, man. You know, doing the research for our guest is so much more exciting when I know the person behind the persona. It always makes it easier and a lot more fun. And it has been fun going back, you know, in the time machine and looking at Henry's career. I'm going to tell you, last night I was grilling up some steaks and watching Henry's career, YouTubing him match after match. And it was fantastic. I was loving every minute of it. Now, we're going to start here. I want to ask you some questions. I know that early in your career, we'll start with the WCW days and work our way through it. Okay. But trained by the Italian Stallion and George South, correct?
That's it.
Tell me about how that started and what made you want to get into this business.
My God, when I was 4, 5, 6 years old, my grandfather was in the wrestling. It was out of Oak Hill, West Virginia. Just, man, I still remember it like it was yesterday. But I got into it at that young age. And then I remember watching Putski and Steamboat when I was little. And then we moved back to West Virginia. I was working at a hospital in Princeton, West Virginia. And I had met George and Stal just by a fluke at a store. And so I started talking to them and they said, well, why don't you come try out? So I did. And I was so damn sore hitting those ropes for the first time. It felt like somebody beat me in the ribs. I had to lay on ice for 2 days. But yeah, that's how I got into the business with them. And they trained me. I worked for them till the end of 89 to like the end of 91. And then he started taking me down and I was doing, I was being an extra. And then I worked Eric Watts. And of course, Cowboy Bill Watts had just come in and took over and Dusty was booking. So I had a good match with Eric and they said, they come to me at center stage that night, said, hey, would you like to go on the road sometime and work Eric on a run? Yeah, hell yeah. And I said, well, when you talk? And they go, well, can you go tonight?
Wear your clothes, right?
Yeah. So all I had was my gear and what I wore down there. So Stal, give me some clothes. Arn, give me some clothes. And I went on a week tour. And when I got done, about 2 weeks later, they said, Dusty wants to offer you a job. So he did this whole thing about the reason we were texting Shanghai is because of Dusty. He loved the old Westerns, and the Gunfight OK Corral was one of his favorites. And there was a couple ranchers, cattlemen in there, and one was Tex Slazenger, and the other one was Shanghai Pierce. So that's where our names come from. And, of course, they put the mask on me because they said, Dusty always said I had a baby face, and he said Tex was ugly enough. He didn't need one.
But you were 6'5", at least, 300 pounds, man. I was watching you last night. I'm just like, that is a beast on camera, man, with the mask and everything. It was you guys look great together.
Yeah. Yeah, we've been together a long time. 30 no,
it was a great fit, man. I can see why Dusty would put you two together. It just was a great look, even though neither one of you are from Texas.
Yeah.
It's still the perfect gimmick. A lot of guys that portrayed to be from Texas were, of course, not. But either way, man, I loved it. And watching all the stuff last night was Yeah, I'd been watching it a few weeks prior too, because I was hoping to get you on here. But yeah, good stuff, man. No doubt.
So you
Johnny
put up with
Bass
Dennis
is
for
my
how
backup.
long?
Yeah. Good question.
What's
Go
that?
ahead.
How
I said,
long have you put up with Dennis now?
oh, going on 33 years.
You realize if you'd have killed him in that first year, you'd be out
Yeah.
now.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
And I could have a couple times.
I'm sure we'll come to that as we progress through. But we are sending all our love to the legend that is Dennis Knight. Look forward to catching up with you soon. But the question that I've got for you is, as you are joining WCW, who are you roading with? Who is traveling on the road with you?
I'll go back to my first little trip.
Okay.
So I rode the first night with Arn Anderson when I was going to work Eric Watts. And then after that, I got in with Harley Race was driving. Hercules Hernandez was in the front seat. Me and Barbie was in the back seat.
Oh my God.
Now I'm scared shitless. Here's almost 100 years of, talent work, and here I am. Just barely 3 years, maybe not 3 years in the business. And Harley turns to me. We're going down a dark road. I'll never forget it. It was somewhere in Texas, and it was just, you could just straight and just see forever. The sun was going down, and he goes, "Kid, when you hear him crunching a can, he'd throw it out the window." He goes, "I want to hear." So I was nervous. I forgot the first time. He threw it out. He crushed it. I wasn't paying attention. I was talking with Barbie. He goes, "Kid." So I never missed another one. I handed it to him going down the road.
A professional bartender. I love it.
Yeah. That's a
That is an induction through fire, right? Oh my God, you are waiting just on a sound cue to know whether or not you're gonna make it to the next town. That's hilarious. Well, seeing as we're talking about Harley, we're talking about Hercules, we're talking about the Barbarian, let's hit our first game show feature straight off the back. I'm going to give you the opportunity to pose a beautiful resculpturing of Mount Rushmore, but we're going to invite you to resculpture it with old school tough guys. So you're going to repaint it with someone who you would like to have your back in need of a bar fight. Who are we going for? Old school tough guys. I'm going to pose it to both Brian and to Mark. And just after Mark's given his suggestions, I'm going to guess how many you're going to sync up.
there you go.
All right. I'm going to go. You got to go with Haku.
You've got to go with Haku, right, Brian?
Yeah.
Yes, you have to. That's automatic. There's so much.
I would almost say, Rude was pretty tough.
Right, cool.
Great
Rick Rude
choice.
was an absolute legend, someone we talk about a lot on the show.
The
US
Popeye
Navy.
forearms, yeah.
Yeah,
Hung around
legit.
him a lot. Oh God.
It's
Yeah,
tough.
you can go 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. So I sort of mixed it up a little bit because it's tough. I mean, there's 50 people I could put on here, but I'd sort of just try to narrow it down some.
Yeah. I've been in a couple of situations with Taker. I would almost have to put Taker having my back too.
You've got it right. You've got to bring it home to the BSK.
Yeah. And then I would say Barbie, Barbarian.
Excellent. Amazing. What a foursome. Definitely somebody and a group that you would not like to meet down a dark alley, having pissed them off in the bar half an hour before. And I think, if I'm not wrong, I actually saw on the news today that Abraham Lincoln's face is being taken off Mount Rushmore because Meng is currently carving his own in it. And who's going to stop him, right?
And I would almost, I had Ron Simmons too on my mind too.
Florida State legend Ron Simmons, absolutely. One of the highest, one of the highest defensive linemen ever as far as the voting for Heisman Trophy.
Yeah.
What an athlete. That was my hometown. So I grew up, you know, watching Ron Simmons play. Yes, sir. Yeah.
Damn.
Unstoppable.
Mm-hmm. Damn.
You know it. Right, Brian, we are going to hook up. Let's see what we've got. I'm saying that you sync up two. The same on your list. Now, very often, Mark, I take the loss in this competition. I job out like anybody's business, and Brian walks away with the win. But let's see how many we've got. Go for it, big man.
All right. Of course, as we mentioned, our favorite for all of us, Haku.
Excellent. He can be on whatever list he wants.
Exactly. He's my first choice. My second one, I'm going to go a little bit old school and go Bruiser Brody.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Then I'm going to a little bit of a twist here. I'm going to go with this gentleman was a judo bronze medalist. Bad News Brown.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
Great name. Right.
And then I'm going to finish it up with a little bit of current talent, Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
So MMA, awesome show.
He's collegiate All-American. So there, that's my four.
And I've taken the loss again. I knew I was going to get Haku. I in my head, I was like, he's definitely going to put Barb in there as well. He's definitely going to put Barb up. But that, what a great, I mean, you look at that list, you've got seven incredible names there. Rick Rude, The Undertaker, The Barbarian, Bruiser Brody, Bad News Brown, Brock Lesnar, and everybody's favorite. You go to any professional wrestler and ask them that question. Haku, numero uno. Well, well done, gentlemen. Smashed it out of the park again. We'll create that into a beautiful reel and share it with the world. Haku doesn't need it. Haku knows that he is a badass, but he's a beautiful man inside and out. So we would love to welcome over here to the Meltdown. Well, let's have a little progression. We're going to take a step away from the Rushmore, and we are going to get to the point where you are joining the WWF. So I'm going to bat it over to Brian, who was there at that time. World Wrestling Federation was beckoning for a certain Mr. Canterbury. Brian.
Yeah. Well, you know, here is a good thing about this. It's unfortunate that you got your release from WCW, but as always, you are turning something negative into a positive. That's something we always like to talk about. Mm-hmm. And you did an excellent job at this point in your career. And you get the call up to Stanford. So tell us a little bit about how that happened. Once WCW said, okay, we'll give you a release, but then look what happens with this new creation. How did that happen?
Well, you're right. That's the best release I've ever got. We were just, and even Arn, he says, we hung out with Pee Wee Anderson, of course, the ref, and Arn a lot, and Barry Windham. Of course, Barry, when we first started, me and Phineas in WCW, he took us under his wing. So, but anyway, we got released. I went up 4 weeks later and met with Vince and J.J. Dillon back in the little kayfabe office there in the back. And, he just very pleasant, asking me what I did, said they had watched me and had seen some footage of the WCW. And he started asking me what I did. You know, I was telling him I worked, drove a truck, worked on a psych floor in Princeton at the hospital. And then I said, me and
when you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
My dad got a farm, 130-acre farm, and we raised, you know, hogs, cows, chickens, got a couple horses. He says, what do you do with the hogs? It was like a damn light bulb went off. So he said, yeah, tell me about the hogs. So I said, well, we raise them from pigs, and we have to feed them and slop them and castrate them and do all that stuff. And man, you just seen he got a shit eating grin on his face and just so I gotta show you guys something real quick that I found 3 months ago.
All right, let's see it. What do you got?
Oh wow. That's the original. The date is 1094. And it's got the signature of who drew it, but this is the creative WWF creative department. So I just found this, so it's pretty cool.
That is worth money, my friend. That right there. Yeah.
I talked to Taker when I found it, and he said, damn, I don't even have mine. He said, you better hold on to that.
That's worth some dollar. I mean, looking at that as it's behind you, what an incredible piece of professional wrestling history that certainly is. Yeah. You've got a hog on a leash. Was that the original plan that you were going to be that you would like the British Bulldogs have a
it went from the leash. It went from the leash to just carrying the little bastards.
But I loved every minute of it. And then when Hillbilly Jim joined us and was managing us, it was so much fun doing those little interviews with the pigs. And then I remember one night we did Monday Night Raw and against Jannetty and Snow, Al, and we took a goat and two pups to the ring, and the goat shit in the ring that night on live TV. And I remember them, I can't remember who was ref, and maybe Hebner, but I kicked one of the turds out of the ring and it sort of stuck to my boot, and we all just lost it, man. It was hilarious. Oh. But yeah, it was a great time and a lot of fun.
That's amazing.
So who took the bump on the shit?
Somebody at ringside cleaned it up, but man, people in the front row were popping and laughing, and all the boys, we were laughing in the ring. It was hilarious.
Imagine.
So I'm trying to piece my timeline together. Let's take you back to like 94, 95, because doing my research as well and things that Brian's been sending me, I remember a time when there was that both of you were in the ring together. I'm sure it was an episode of Superstars. You were living life and loving it. Brian was representing the big baby face. Henry was rocking it as the heel hog father. What do you remember about working together with each other?
Go ahead. No, I just remember it as very natural, very a lot of chemistry there, very easy. He, like I said, he was 6'5", 300 pounds, and he moved so well. I remember him doing his flying elbow off the drop, off the ring, and then of course the leg drop on the apron. He had a really good arsenal of things that he could do, and he could move. He wasn't like this guy that was 6'5", 300 pounds that was slow. I mean, he had a great burst.
Yeah. We had a couple matches, I'm pretty sure. But when two big guys have the chemistry like we did, it makes it very enjoyable to go to work.
It does. Because if
we were moving like 200 pounders.
Yeah. And I've been in that situation where the other guys is 300 plus. And it's just like, oh, you know, I'm doing everything. And this guy's just, it's like pulling teeth.
Yeah.
And I'm not calling names, but you know what I mean? It's just not there.
Yeah.
If you got two guys that are really wanting to work hard and get it over, that's the key.
I mean, I love, you know, rest in peace. I love the Road Warriors, Hawk and Animal, but man, they were hard to work with. And that's just, everybody knows that. I'm not saying nothing bad about them.
I know. I worked with Animal. Yeah, I know. I agree with you. I worked with Animal and it was tough. And going up for a finish and getting him in the meltdown and on, but it was, and he was super snug, which is fine with me, but
yeah,
you know, there's a point where you go, okay.
Receipt.
But yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah. And of course, that's who broke my neck. So,
Yeah, we're gonna get into that because I got some.
yeah.
You know, we both are carrying the scar. And I know you have yours.
Yeah, right there.
There you go. So we have not only our birthdays, March the 14th and March the 16th,
Yeah.
but we've also got the broken necks.
Yeah.
So about that.
So we're gonna have to 1 year we're gonna have to get together and celebrate our birthdays together.
We'll have to do it on the 15th. That's where we're right in the middle.
Right in the middle, baby.
And
Put
the
it in your
same age.
calendars right now.
No,
That's
I got
it.
a
huge wall calendar here. I'll pencil that in. Yeah, we're definitely, man. I'm telling you, I know we're going to see each other coming up soon. So I'm looking forward to that. Tom, did you want to roll into the next one? Where are
Yeah,
we at?
absolutely. So, I mean, just from me as a fan, I mean, watching you guys when you were on the opposite side of the rings to each other was truly beautiful for us because you were two wonderful characters that were, as you said, 6'5", 6'6", very prominent positions on the television, and it was always a dream to find out who was going to go over. So, thank you so much for the incredible entertainment that you gave us as fans all the way around the world. You are icons, heroes, and phenomenal talents, and we will raise a glass to you both. Beautiful. Now, as we progress on through, we can't have a show with Henry Godwin and not talk about the BSK. So, if we're all right to open up at Pandora's box, we're going to start us off with a little chat about The Undertaker and Paul Bearer. Now, what working the roads with the boys, have we got any beautiful road stories that you'd like to tell, that you'd like to share with us? Maybe about Paul. Let's talk about Paul first. Is there anything, any little nuances that he had on the road that we didn't get to see on screen?
Oh my God, Paul was such a little chubby redneck, but he was lovable. I would have done anything for him, and I loved being around him. You know, that Alabama, that Southern drawl, and just watching him. And one of his favorite sayings were, "I'm gonna get me a sandwich and a Coca-Cola belly wash." That was one of the things he always said, Coca-Cola belly wash. And
Okay.
When I first started, I was riding with Jeff Jarrett in WWF. And then Taker one night said, "Hey, you want to ride with me and Paul?" I said, "Yeah." So Paul hated when anybody rode with them. I mean, he would get quiet. And Taker told this story too. I started riding with him, but let's go back to at catering that evening before I rode with him. You know, Taker doesn't like cucumbers. They make him gag and throw up. So, me and Paul go up and get our dinner. Taker's already at the table. And I'm just meeting these guys, and they're asking me, Taker goes, "Hey, you want to ride with?" "Yeah, I'll ride." So, me and Paul go up. We're fixing our plate. He gets a freaking plate of cucumbers and says, "Oh, can you carry this? Taker loves them, and I can't carry everything. He was wanting some." Man, I took them things back and told Mark, I said, "Here's your cucumbers." He looked at me like he could have killed me.
Oh,
And he jumped right on Paul's ass. So,
so he
yeah,
knew.
it was like, so I think he was wanting to get back at Paul, and that's why he asked me to ride. And then it just stuck. We started riding together, and then for a long time, and then that's about the time the BSK started with Yoko, and it was a fun time.
It certainly sounds like it. And who knew that Superman's kryptonite when it comes to professional wrestling would be cucumbers? Who
That
knew? Well, I'm going to find out. I'm going to put you on the spot right now when it comes to the BSK. How many members of the BSK were there? Do you reckon?
Well, there was myself,
Yep.
Rikishi,
Yep.
Godfather
Yep.
at the time, Paul Bear,
Yep.
Taker, Yoko, and then Brian was, they were calling him like a what do you call it? Like a special member. He was with us sometimes.
Special guest attraction. I love it. Okay. Yeah.
He didn't hang out with us a lot, but when he did, he was BSK.
That's awesome. Right. And well, then, I'm going to invite you.
Then he has come up a year later, and his initiation was, and Yoko goes to me, "You talking for this fool?" And I said, "Yeah." So Peck had to drink a whole bottle of Jack that night, and he did, and he walked out, but that was his initiation, and then that's how he became the BSK.
Wow. What an initiation, Brian. We should get people to do that when they're guests on our show.
Yeah. Yeah, 1 hour prior, have them start, and then yes.
The stories would roll. Right, I'm going to put you into position now, Mr. Canterbury. Seeing as one of the big topics last year was a little Disney film that got recast without actors in the form of another ultimate hero and her seven friends, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. If you had to recast the BSK into the position of the Seven Dwarfs, could you realign them for me? So if I give you the names of the Seven Dwarfs, you've got to tell me who would play each character.
I'll do my best.
All right. So we're going to start off at the top. Doc, who's going to play Doc? Who would be the papa figure?
I would have to go with... I'd have to go with Taker.
Got to be, right? I knew you were going to say that. I'm sure Brian will be happy with that. Right, let's move on down the line. Who's going to go with Sneezy? Who was always ill?
I'm going to go with... I'll go with Paul Bear on that.
Okay. Always sick. Always needing a little medicine. Uncle Paul. Sneezy. We're going to go from Sneezy to Sleepy.
I'm going to go Yoko.
Yoko needed his rest. Okay. We're going to move on to Bashful.
That would probably be me.
That's what I was going to guess. There you go.
Is that right, Brian? Okay.
That's what I would think. Yeah, if I'm picking it. Yeah.
Okay, we got three left. Happy. It makes it harder because there are only three left and you've already hit me with four.
Yeah.
But so Henry was always in a good mood, so he could have did both of those. I'm just saying.
I'll tell you who I've got on mine if we get it right. Let's go.
Okay.
I could almost say, well, Godfather was sort of grumpy, but he was happy a lot because he had the lettuce.
That's exactly who I knew you were going to say. Okay. Well, speaking of grumpy, let's do that then. Who would be grumpy?
Oh, Godfather.
No, you've already had him. He's happy.
With the lettuce, right?
Yeah, the lettuce.
Would Quiche fall into that category of grumpy or Savio?
Maybe not Savio. Maybe Rikishi.
Okay, we're going to send this over to Junior.
Yeah.
And last but by no means least, who's hitting Dopey?
Oh, Dopey's got to be Phineas. No doubt. No doubt.
Set itself up.
Save that one for the last. Yeah.
Good one.
Oh, that's good shit. I love that.
That's going to make a great clip.
Oh, I loved it. Loved it. You're going to have to take this, Brian, for a minute.
On that, but I didn't have to think about that. I was waiting on that.
Automatic. Love it.
You wait for the main event, right? Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay. So we're going to switch gears here a little bit. I want to talk about pairing you with Tex in WWE as the Godwins. So you come over from WCW mid-late 94. With Tex joining you in 95. So how did he take with being part of the pig farmer gimmick? Did he embrace it from the start, or did he any kickback on it, or was he all in?
Not a bit. He was glad to come up there for one reason.
Right.
And I'd been dropping hints about him. Of course, you know, in WCW, he had some issues he had to get straightened out, personal stuff. And it took about a year. And then I kept dropping little hints about him. And so finally he had a dark match up there, and they hired him, and we picked up where we left off. And he came up with some good stuff. Instead of tape, like the tape we use, the white tape, we were using duct tape for him.
Wow.
Gray duct tape. And we just wanted to keep it sort of, you know, just very redneckish, hillbillyish, Appalachian, you know. Couldn't afford that fancy white tape, so we had plenty of duct tape out in the barn, so we just wrapped him up in duct tape. But yeah, he took right off with it and loved it. And he started doing this thing where he did the reverse mule kick. He would get in the corner and they would pound him and he would fight out. And then he'd start doing the mule kick and chasing him. And I would chase him and tackle him. So that become a big high spot for us. And yeah, it was just, we did unorthodox moves. Like we would slam each other on our opponents and just crazy stuff like that.
But just like you slamming him, you guys probably were some of the first to do that. And now that's done every single week. Now.
Yeah, we did it a lot. I always slammed him on somebody, or I'd pick him up and drop the big leg. Just unorthodox. We didn't want to come across as like, you know, tight wrestlers. We wanted to be unorthodox, like farm boys, and do silly shit. So that's what we did. And it worked.
Dedication to the gimmick. Absolutely, yes. It worked. And another feature of the gimmick was that slot bucket. Let's go back and have a little talk about some of your favorites. There is a grin on your face right now, Mr. Canterbury.
Oh, it is.
Let's have a little chat about your favorite sloppy moments, including 1996's most downloaded woman on the internet and the current pinup at Lowell Correctional Facility. Let's talk about the Sunday slop.
The current pinup. Okay.
I knew you'd pop at that.
Of course.
Awesome. That's awesome. Hey, I said I would put $100 on her books at prison if she would sign a triple sign on that the magazine that come out with us slopping her.
Oh yeah,
we have a couple that we've signed together. We just need hers to make it complete. So I would put $100 on her books if she would do that. But that's later. But yeah. We came in to TV that day, and Bruce Pritchard says, "Hey, y'all are gonna slop Sonny tonight." And I was excited about it. You know, it's just gonna be a good slopping. So we went and talked to Bruce, and Pat Patterson was there and telling us what we're gonna do. So we went. I made the slop. We went to catering. I made the slop and hung out. Took it back to the locker room, and the boys were there. Razor Kid, Doc Pritchard, Savio. I'm naming the guys who put their DNAs in the bucket too, but
you knew that was coming.
Yeah. So I set it down and I said, nobody mess with this. Excuse me. Sonny's getting slopped tonight with this. And I always made them about half full, not too much slop. And, I set it down. Then we went and went over the match. Well, when I come back, it was about that far from the top, from a half to that. So I knew something had gone on. People were laughing. And then somebody said, yeah, Kid and Razor just took it back in the stall. And I think that's where it got filled up a lot. And all the boys were dipping and using that as a spit tune. But so it went down that night, and that's how it happened. She had them cowboy boots on and her shorts and a halter top, and they said her boots filled up with that slop.
I didn't know that.
So that's the slop with that's the sunny slopping.
Oh, actually crying laughing. Amazing. Amazing. What a story. Brian, you took a slop as well, didn't you? I remember from watching Non Superstars, you got slop. Was anybody ever hesitant about getting the slop?
No, Hunter got it for 6 months every night.
Look at him now!
For the hog pit match. I mean, I got to say, he was a trooper because me and him would wash our stuff out every night, hang it in the hotel room, and it got pretty ripe, his and mine, sometimes from that slop, but we did our best on the road.
Trooper. That's my next lead-in question. I want to talk to you about that. Is the hogpen match with Hunter? I'm going to read here. I got some notes up here, but also some stuff that I thought about. I thought you guys had – you both worked your tails off in that match. I mean, from the intro part of it, I just watched this last night. So yep. I'd watched it way back in the day and, of course, last night. And – you guys worked so hard and through the ring, and then you worked your way to the pig pen.
Yeah.
You guys had great chemistry. I mean, both big bumps, and I noticed a lot of bumps right on the concrete.
That bump, because I had him set up for the slop drop. He grabbed the fence railing.
Yes, and you were. Oh.
And it felt like I'd fallen off a cliff.
You hit it hard.
Yeah.
I just watched it last night, man. I was just like, that had to hurt.
Yeah, but yeah, and then of course you know I scarred him for life. He threw me into the panel gate,
right?
Which the panel gate, I was like 315 at the time, and I just V'd it, just crushed it. And it, when I did, it brought those sharp edges out. So I was to throw him in the next time. Well, I threw him in, and we didn't know, but those sharp edges just sliced him right down the back. And I didn't know till he got back to the locker room that he was cut because I pressed him and slammed him and all that hog shit had been in there all day with the mud. And we thought he was going to come up with some new swine disease or something. So
when he hit the gate, I mean, there was blood all over the gate when he hit. And then, like you said, you pressed him, slammed him. He fell all in the mud rolling around. That did caught this too last time. Every time he would get up, he would have all the crap in his hand, so he would sling it everywhere.
There was people covered with hog crap. I mean, their clothes, their face, and then I didn't know if you watched to the end, but somebody threw a big gulp cup and hit him in the head.
Yes, sir. I watched that last night. I was like, damn, he didn't see that one coming.
Yeah,
that's audience participation at a different level.
Well, they must have got the hog crap on them. So, it's a receipt from the fan.
He was drizzling people with it.
Oh yeah, not just one or two, but like numerous times of just slinging it. It was good stuff, man.
Yeah, it was.
It was excellent.
That was the match we were up for the Slammies that year. That's where that. So yeah, it was a lot of fun. Very rewarding and. Very happy about that match.
I'll tell you something else, too, that a lot of people may not remember, but at the beginning of this match, Tony Chimel gets blasted.
Oh, they set his ass up.
Oh, I know that. And he looked like he was pissed.
Yeah, he was. I think Vince bought him a suit.
Yeah, he was covered, but you nailed it. It was good.
Guarantee he didn't know that was coming.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no. A lot of people didn't catch that. I was like, oh, man, that's Chimel. He is hot.
Have you ever seen the video where Tony gets shot in the balls with a T-shirt cannon?
Yeah, he was mad then. Hot.
He would definitely sell for us.
Yeah.
Tony, we love you. Cheers to you. Cheers to you, good sir. Well, speaking of Hunter, speaking of Triple H, obviously he is ascended from talent to the top of the mountain right now. I wanted to question you, seeing as it's just been a big announcement that it's been all over the world in terms of not just pro wrestling news, but news in general, that WrestleMania is going to Saudi Arabia for WrestleMania 43. What's your impressions as a former talent and an icon in the WWE universe?
I have mixed emotions. I just always thought WrestleMania would be here
for our country all the time. I mean, you could take something else over there, but I never dreamed of WrestleMania being anywhere but in the States. So, I mean, somebody's getting paid good, but yeah, it's just mixed emotions on that topic.
Yeah. Yeah, we felt the same, right, Brian? It was it's just a little hazy ground. For me as a Brit, when the announcement came out, and we've talked about this off air, we thought that London was going to get WrestleMania.
Well, that's I wouldn't mind that, but how many people over here are going to travel to Saudi Arabia?
Correct. That's going to be a big stumbling block.
And I loved Germany and I loved England both. One of the big things, I got to wrestle at Royal Albert Hall when, like, 3 weeks after Eric Clapton was there, we had WWF was there.
That's so iconic. Honestly, for us Englishmen, the Royal Albert Hall holds a very significant place in our hearts. It has housed so many legendary talents over the years, and for you guys to have performed.
I loved it. I thought it was a beautiful place, too.
Not really big, but I mean, you think about the legends.
Manga, but beautiful. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, the Beatles, Bob Dylan, Elvis. I mean, on and on with legends. Right. And there we were. We actually got to perform there too. So, yeah, very lucky in that aspect, no doubt.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about that, Brian. Let's talk about international tours.
Well, we touched on it earlier, all three of us did prior to starting the show. For me, that was, I did. This sounds crazy, but probably within a year or a year and a half, I did 10 tours of international, whether it be Europe, Philippines, all over, Singapore, everywhere.
Weren't we on the Singapore Manila thing?
Oh, yeah. I got a quick story. Now, just popped into my head. I was going to tell you a story about that real quick. So all on the flight going over to the Philippines, I'm sitting next to Bundy. So the whole time I'm winding him up, Bundy, man, we're going to have a blast. We're going to go out into town. Of course, I'm having a few too many on the way over. And so I basically promised Bundy, yeah, man, I'm taking you out into Manila. Never happened. Never happened. I actually met up with Godfather and a few of the other guys, and we went out. I don't know how we lost Bundy, but we did. And I never heard the end of that from him about, oh, yeah, we're going to have a great time in the Philippines. Bullshit. He was mad at me for weeks. So, anyway. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I said we had a good time.
I had a blast. I love the Philippines. I can't remember different cities. Of course, Manila was the big one. There are a couple of other cities that we hit. Fans were always great. Any international tour. I don't remember having a bad international tour.
The only rough one was the India when we went to raise money for AIDS in India, that 4-day tour in India.
I didn't do that.
We all got sick and both ends and just couldn't keep nothing down.
Yeah, I missed that one. But like going to Rome, I got some great photos of being in Rome at Vatican City and then at the Colosseum with all the boys together, you know, and some great pictures of everybody. Something we will share and I'll send to Tom and just some good stuff. Even on the tour buses with Yoko, you know, because Henry, I send you a lot of stuff, you know.
Yeah, and I have pictures of you on the bus. Did I send you any?
If you haven't, send them over. We'll make sure they get on this show.
I will, because I was the nerd that took pictures all the time.
I did too. I did the same thing. Yep.
Yeah.
I've got one of me and Savio are walking down the aisle, and the kid has just passed out with his mouth open. That's a classic.
Usual suspect.
Yeah. He was completely out.
Hey, I did see where you put that picture up of me and you and Max Payne holding Robin Leach under the garden.
Yes, that was Madison Square Garden. And then there was another one of us with the New York designer, Nicole Miller.
The designer. Yeah.
Right. Good stuff, man. And Burt Reynolds was at that show.
That's right. I didn't get a picture, but I remember,
Oh, man, I got some good shots with him. He's a Florida State guy, so...
Yeah. Hell of a football player.
Yes. And nice as he could be. And I actually did a movie with him in 2004 that was filmed out here in Arizona.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, it was sure did. Had a great time. And he was still as nice as he could be. Of course, I brought up WrestleMania and we chatted up. I played a bodyguard in for a mafia scene. And but yeah, just as cool as he could be, man.
Yeah. So,
good guy. Miss him.
Brian dropping the movie knowledge here. Oh,
no, I just was saying, I got my point was that no movie knowledge, but point is that I got to see him later, like 20 years later, and he was just as cool as he was at WrestleMania. Yeah. That was
it's so awesome to hear, honestly. It really is. And for you guys to be the photographers, as it were, is such a unique thing in the 90s. For you guys to be able to capture that. I mean, nowadays it's so prevalent. Everybody has an iPhone. Everybody has a camera with them in the pocket. And everybody's taking pictures and videos, and it's all over Instagram within seconds. But to be able to look back on these pictures that were only taken sparingly means so much. It must mean so much to you guys.
Thank God we didn't have phones back in our era. Oh. We'd all be killed.
Divorced again and again and again.
The only thing I had back that carried was Godfather had some stolen pagers from Vegas that he brought us. So our little group had pagers. That's all we had.
The paging gimmick. Love it.
I love the way that it was stolen pages as well.
Yeah. They weren't legal pages.
Oh. I love it. Right, we're going to get back on track.
Here's the fun part, right?
I'm crying laughing right now.
Yeah. Are we getting ready for the hot hands?
We're going to get ready for the hot hands, brother. I'm going to rub them together. Let's create something special. Because right now, Mr. Canterbury, my hands are going to be in shot. And you are going to face the music when it comes to Winner Stays On. I'm going to give you guys two names. Mark, you're going to go forward. You're going to put someone over and you're going to drop someone like a stone. We'll go to the next name and let's find out who rules the ring at the end. And the topic that we've got for you, seeing as I am sat with two world tag team champions right now, is WWF tag team champions. So, Mr. Canterbury, are you ready?
Yes, let's try it.
Let's go for it. Right, first two names, Heart Foundations and the Blackjack.
I'm going to go Heart Foundation.
Heart Foundation, stay on. Blackjacks take a nice big black leather glove to the face. The Heart Foundation or the Rockers?
Oh, I'm going to have to go with the Heart Foundation.
Heart Foundation or the Nasty Boys?
Heart Foundation.
The Heart Foundation or the Body Daughters?
Heart Foundation.
Heart Foundation or the Hardy Boys?
That would be interesting, but I'm going to still have to go with the Hearts.
Keep with the Hearts. Heart Foundation or the Head Shrinkers? Three taps, BSK.
I'm gonna say the Head Shrinkers.
Oh, we have swapped. We have changed. Head Shrinkers or Head Bangers?
I loved working the Headbangers and great friends. I'm going to have to go with the Head Shrinkers.
Keeping with the Shrinkers. Head Shrinkers or the Legion of Doom?
Oh.
We don't make this easy.
No, it's not. It's fun, but it's not easy. You know, we got to go down the list here.
I would switch over to the Legion of Doom.
The Road Warriors. Taking it all the way. Road Warriors or Steiner Brothers?
I'm going to have to go with the LOD.
LOD stays on. LOD or the Brothers of Destruction, Taker and Kane?
Woo! I'm going to have to go with the Brothers.
You got to, right? You got to. Brothers of Destruction or the Dudley Boys?
I'm going to have to stay with Taker and Kane.
Taker and Kane or Demolition?
Wow.
Tough one right there, huh?
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go with Demolition because they were together longer. They were a unit where I think sometimes tag teams,
when you throw them together, you got a single and a single.
Yeah.
You know, and there's no chemistry. It's just, let's do our move, you do your move, and we're done. I'm going to have to go with Demolition.
Bill and Barry are going to be smiling from ear to ear. Demolition, or the Smoking Guns?
I love them. Love all them. Damn. I'm going to have to stay with Demolition.
Demolition or the New Day?
Demolition.
Demolition or the Godwins?
I'm going to say we squeak by.
Yeah.
Maybe even a DQ. We squeak by.
Love as long it. As you go home with
as
the
winners. As long as you're going over.
Round of applause for that. Love that, big man. Excellent job. The Godwins are going over. Sorry, Bill. Sorry, Barry. You have been searched and destroyed.
And slopped.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Brian, what do you reckon?
Fantastic. I love it when the guys, the boys get to go over. You know, they get to go over at the end. It's great. And some great tag teams in there, man. I mean, look at the Steiners. You look at, like you said, Demolition, of course. The Nasty Boys, who really do not get enough credit for some of their work.
Yeah.
Heart Foundation. Hard to beat those guys, too.
Yeah. Huge list.
Yeah. And we're going to go on to another segment here, but I was looking at my phone. I had some messages. One of our big-time supporters, Aaron Spaulding out of Mesa, Arizona, has a question for you, Henry.
Okay.
And we talked we were going to touch on this a little bit about your broken neck. He wants to know how bad the injury was. So I actually told him a little bit about how bad it was. And from your take on it, tell me, I know that when you hit, because I watched this over and over last night, and I know you've watched it probably a million times, it was a devastating fall.
Yeah.
Did you know instantly how bad it was?
I did, but I did know before the match. You know, I'm one of the boys to the core. I didn't stooge nobody out. We went over the match. Hawk wasn't himself that night at TV, but I didn't, you know, call him out or say anything in the office. But we did talk to Pritchard, Pat, and I think Blackjack Lanza was on the match. And I said, yeah, I just don't feel comfortable doing it. And then even Joe spoke up, said, we can do it from the electric chair, you know, where me and him go down together. I said, yeah, I'll do that. Yeah, I can do that. I've taken that many times. And they said, well, they want the flip. They want off the shoulders. And Phineas spoke up and said, well, he's taken it before in Memphis. And they said, well, the office wants Henry to do it. So I bowed down and I said, okay, we'll do it. And sure enough, broke my neck that night. I remember hitting and just seeing a flash. And I felt stuff in my mouth, felt like sand, but it was my teeth that had chipped. And so I got up. And Hillbilly was jumped up in there, and Phineas asking me if I was okay. And I said, yeah, I pulled a muscle or something. So I got up and they helped me. I walked to the back, and people in the office said, hey, lay down on this concrete floor. They took my overalls off and put me on the cold floor. And then I could feel everything tightening up, but they said it was my body trying to protect what had happened, the injury. So, it was in Binghamton, New York, and I went to the hospital up there, had an MRI, and I'd cracked my C7. So I was supposed to go home and rest for 14 weeks, and I went home for 6 and called Vince and said I'm ready to come back. And so I went back in 7 weeks, and then I wrestled for another almost 8 weeks, but 7.5 weeks. And the last week, man, I couldn't do hardly anything with this arm. It would just affected my right arm. And so we were going to get the belts as Southern Justice then. and we were going to get the belts from Road Dogg and Billy that night in September on Raw. And then Vince took me aside and said, well, how's it feel? You know, after I'd been on the road 7 weeks, he had a, I don't know if you remember the manager, the trainer he had, we had there for a while, but he would work on me every night, ice me, massage, and but nothing was working. And Vince goes, I think you need to go home and find out what's going on. So we didn't get the belts that night. And I went home the next day, and then sure enough, had to have spinal fusion done. But, you know, it is what it is. It's our sport. We chose it. I should have maybe, I don't know. I should have said, no, I'm not going to do it, but who knows? But, so that's that story.
Okay. So there is an answer for you, Aaron Spaulding, Mesa, Arizona, in-depth question. But like you said, Henry, it's amazing when we get some of our big injuries. We remember Binghamton, New York. Is that city?
Yeah.
Can't get that out for some reason. But yeah, I know what you're saying as far as the cities, torn ACL, Orlando. I can just tell you concussion or this or that. Whatever happened, I can always recall the cities. Neck injuries are the same thing like that. When you get that neck injury, I'm sure you dealt with this because I know I did, but with the atrophy of your body.
My right arm, I lost my whole damn tricep on my right arm until surgery. And then I got maybe 85, 90% back.
And it's all the nerve damage. Yes.
Yeah.
Same with me. Like you said, the tricep dropped, my part of my chest dropped, and it took me, I don't know, a year at least of just constantly being really vigilant of that side and doing extra reps on that side to make your body look normal again.
Yeah.
But I know what you mean. I was listening to a lot of your stuff last night and I was like, been there. I know exactly what you were talking about.
And Stone Cold, he did the same thing right before me with Owen.
Right.
He had the same fusion I did.
Did you guys have the same doctor or you had some?
No, I went to Nashville. Vince sent me to Nashville, and that's where I had my surgery. Great, great surgeon down there, Dr. Hanth, but he was a great guy. And, you know, before the surgery, the doctor come in, and we did the pushing test. He would put his arm, and I would push or pull him towards me. I had nothing. 2 days after my surgery, he come in, and we did the same test. I pulled him on the bed with me. Just that quick. Relieving that, it was crazy. Oh, you're gonna do good. So,
good stuff, man. Well, yeah. I'm glad that turned out good for you. That's lucky, you know. A lot of times, especially with the bump that you took, man, it did not look good.
Yeah, and I was like 320 then, you know, and then some of the people in the office said, "Well, you never should have been up on his shoulders anyway. You're way too big." And but it happened, and that's part of my career, so
it's part of it.
That's what
we signed up for. Yeah.
Yeah.
And hindsight is 20/20, right? So you can look at it from a future perspective with glasses as to how it should have been, but it wasn't. And as Brian has just laid out, you were lucky, but it is a positive story on the flip side. Your rehabilitation, your recuperation, the way that the doctors and the surgeons looked after you and what you came out of it. So from a positive story and telling it to our wonderful listeners, our wonderful fans, it's a case of pick yourself up and go at it again.
Yeah.
Go for it. Don't ever let anything beat you.
I went back in 06 and 07 and signed a contract for $1,500 a week, just to get started back. And I'd lost my son and I was going through the broken neck stuff. And, so I wasn't in a good place, but I was up there about 9 months and I just thought, this ain't going to work for me right now. So I bowed out and, yeah, I'm happy with my career, you know.
Two-time
Hall of Fame, that's fine with me. I figured what we did and accomplished in our careers, that's the Hall of Fame for me, and meeting and having good friends that I can still talk to. I mean, I got a lot of acquaintances, but like when me and you and Snitsky hooked up in Vegas,
yeah. Yep.
You know, I haven't seen you guys in freaking forever, but it just to be able to do that, little things like that, that's my payoff now, man. All the hoopla and the lights and everything doesn't mean nothing to me anymore.
I'm the same way. That's why I love this platform and working with Tom, man. He does such a great job. And then I get to, you know, connect with my old friends. And if it's not in a mania, then I can have them on the show. And just, I've been laughing all day with you. It's just fun, man. I love it. I'm really glad that you come and visit with us today, man. It's been looking better. I've been looking.
Positive vibes, buddy. Positive vibes. Baby. I love it.
Yep. That's what we're all about, man. We always, we stay away from the negative, man. There's enough of that in the world and
yeah,
everything that's going on. So we keep it on the positive.
I'll be on a natural high for a couple hours after being on this. I do that. I don't know why.
I'm the same. I am.
I feel like my pulse is a little sweaty, maybe.
Tell me about it. I'll be the same as my bedtime now. Right now,
you're crying, Tom. So we're doing something right.
There you go.
Still entertaining me after all these years, guys. You are amazing. Well, before we go, it would be remiss of us if we didn't talk about one of your newest ventures, which would be BSK Organics. Shall we have a little chat about that before we disappear?
Sure.
Yep. Go for it. My buddy, tell the world.
My buddy in New York is coming. He's been working on a strand for me and Phineas for about a year, and it's going to be called Tag Team OG. So he's working on that in New York, and you know, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it was fun the little bit we did, but yeah, that's still in the making, and our new dolls are coming out in October with Haslett Toys.
Yep.
There's supposed to be a couple sets coming out. Me and there's supposed to be a triple pack of me and Hillbilly and Phineas together. And then the 7-inch dolls are coming out of just me and Phineas. So looking forward to that. And then tomorrow I leave for Montreal. Been 27 years since I've been to Montreal. So we got a big show up there the 19th. We do a private signing, me and Godfather and Phineas, a BSK signing.
Right.
And the next day is the actual Slam Fest. And we'll be there, me and Phineas, Godfather, Barry Windham, Paul Roma, Doink, Dink. So it ought to be interesting.
Last October, I was in Montreal, just as great as always.
Was it?
Well, you know, there's a couple of places that the boys like to hang out. I'll just leave it at that. But
I know that place.
I think you're familiar with it. Great food, great.
Awesome food,
fantastic. So, well, you know, I know you'll have a great time. That's all that I truly care about is that you enjoy Montreal.
I'm going to the fullest.
I know you will, especially with that crew you're going with.
Yeah.
Oh my. Well, hey man, I'm so glad that you came on here today with us, and very, very pleased to have you on here, man. And you are always welcome back. Tomcat all the way in Manchester, UK.
Yeah.
I'm out here in Tucson, Arizona, man. And again, anytime you are close to my area, you just look me up and we will hook up and do the horseback riding or anything feel like.
Yeah, I'd love to, man. If you're ever in Virginia or West Virginia or Tennessee or North Carolina close, let me know.
We'll do it. Absolutely.
Maybe me and you will get on one of these European tours together.
Hell yeah.
And come over and see us, boys. Come over and see us.
And they were never seen again.
Got to ride out in the sunset when you can, man. Right?
That's it, baby.
Lost on the streets of Germany. Ladies and gentlemen, he is an icon. He is a wonderfully phenomenal talent and a superb human being. Please put your hands together for the man, the myth, the legend, Mark Canterbury. It's Henry O'Godwin.
Thank you, guys, man. I enjoyed it. Tom, you're my new brother, man.
We got you, man.
AB, I love you.
All right, man. Love you too, man. You have a great day. And thank you so much again. We appreciate it.
You too. You guys keep in touch. Be safe.
You too, brother.
All right. Love you, man.
You too. Well, we did everything but got sloppy because that interview was absolute fire. Thank you so much to the legend that is Mark Canterbury. Henry Orpheus Godwin joined us on this beautiful Meltdown Monday. Thank you so much, brother. It meant the world to both myself and Brian that you managed to stop by. We talked all sorts of old school pro wrestling, new school pro wrestling, and everything in between with a beautiful three sets of game shows on this one, Brian. We're hitting with three. Does this mean we're up in the ante for the next show? I like it. I like it. Plus, I got to sing a little karaoke at the beginning. Nobody likes a bit of country roads more than the Tomcat. So it's been awesome. I have loved this Meltdown Monday. I feel like we're on a beautiful, positive roll, and that's what we like to hold close to our hearts. So to wrap things up and get things all prepared for another beautiful week for you guys, I'm going to bat it over to Brian just to put that nice little full stop, that period right at the end of our gorgeous show. It's been a pleasure. So from me here in Manchester, we will see you all same Meltdown time, same Meltdown channel next week. Brian, close it out for us, bro.
Yeah, like you said, Tomcat, another great episode with Henry, man. We had a blast. And like he said, I feel the same way. He was really excited about the interview, and he said he'll be on a natural high for the next few hours. I feel the same way. I know you do also. And that's what we want to – we want to give our listeners and our viewers out there the same experience. We're keeping it positive always. We may break a few necks, cash a few checks along the way. But we're keeping it positive for you guys. We are loving that you are listening and are watching, and continue to hit the like, subscribe, and we are not going anywhere. We are having a blast. Some big time guests coming up, as we say. And of course, I will be in Parsippany, New Jersey coming up. And then for October, I will be heading, the 1st of November, I will be in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I have just confirmed Dortmund Comic Con, Dortmund, Germany. Looking forward to that. That's a big 2-3 day event there. Nothing but good positive stuff. Thank you guys for all joining us. Much love from the Tomcat and from the Bomber. You guys have a wonderful day.